The FBI in peace and war. The FBI in peace and war is brought to you by healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor freshens your mouth and sweetens your breath. The pleasant chewing eases tension, helps you feel better, and get more enjoyment out of what you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Neighborhood Boy.
Hi, Gus.
Well, how'd you make out?
I got it, Marty. Here it is. 54 Ford, license number 101778. Motor number A3W12665, color light green.
Mm-hmm.
And he parks it on that same block most of the time. I found that out, too.
Good work, Norman. What's serial number?
Huh?
You didn't get the serial number?
No, Marty, I didn't look for it. I didn't know there was supposed to be one.
There isn't.
What?
I'm just ribbing you, Norman. That model hasn't got a serial number. Sit down, kid. I'll give you your money.
Well, I don't need it now, Marty. I can wait.
Now, you'll take it now. You want to show the old man you're working, don't you?
Well, yeah, but it can wait.
What did you say when you told him you were working for me, Norman? Huh?
I didn't tell him yet.
Oh.
I'm going to tell him tonight, Marty. I just want to wait until...
Until he's had his supper, eh? Remember the time he got thrown out of that fat teacher's class? What was her name?
Miss Longschmidt.
Yeah, Miss Longschmidt.
Yeah.
You waited till after supper to tell him that one, too. He sure fixed you up good, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was pretty sore, I guess.
Yeah, he should have got 30 days in the workhouse for that one. Well, anyway, kid, tell Gus and Sid to go to work on that green Ford right away, will you?
In the winter of 1951, a gang of car thieves operating in a three-state area introduced a new and almost foolproof technique to the racket. When a car was spotted, its motor number was obtained. A false transfer stub was made out and new license plates were received for the car. The car was then stolen and sold to a legitimate used car dealer with papers in perfect order. When the interstate nature of the racket became apparent, our bureau was called into the case.
$25, $30, $35. Okay, there you are, Pa. I guess I'll keep the rest for a suit, huh? I probably ought to have a new suit.
You can keep the whole thing, Norm.
No, you take it. I want to pay my way.
Keep the whole thing. I don't want that hoodlum's money.
Pa.
When did you quit your job at the store? Or did you get fired like always? All that trouble I went through getting you the job, 3 months, you get fired.
I wasn't any good at selling.
It's like I told your mother. What's the sense of doing anything for him, trying to get him a respectable job?
Pa, I'm old enough now.
Old
to
enough.
My own...
At 26, I was supporting a family. I had a sense of responsibility.
Oh.
I wasn't thinking all the time about running around with hoodlums like Marty Brenner.
Are you going to take the money?
Ever since high school, it's Marty Brenner this, Marty Brenner that. Look at you. You even dress like him.
Marty's the best friend I've got.
A hoodlum, and everybody knows it.
I'm going out. I'll see you later.
What are you supposed to be doing down at that garage of his, Norman?
I'm going to help Gus Weller.
A grease monkey. From a good, respectable salesman with the prospect of traveling someday to a lousy grease monkey in a garage. And for what?
Pop.
I'll tell you for what. So you can be like Marty Brenner, that's what. So you can go to nightclubs and be a boozer and run around with showgirls. Well, you'll end up like Marty Brenner, that's what. You'll end up a no good, you hear me?
When our bureau came into the case, this much was known. A used car dealer in a nearby state had purchased 3 late model cars. He sold one car, which was recognized by an owner as having been stolen. Subsequent investigation showed all 3 cars to have been stolen and registered to new owners. 3 different men had sold these cars to the dealer. We had descriptions of these men. We knew the stolen cars all came from one area. We knew the gang's technique. Our job was to proceed from there.
You don't see that, do you, Edna?
No, I don't, Norman. You had such a fine job at this store. Everything was going so nice.
But it wasn't. Can't you understand that? I didn't like the store. It was lousy at the store.
You like what you're doing now?
Yeah, of course I like it. Why shouldn't I?
All right. Guess there's no use arguing.
Well, what's the matter with working in a garage?
Nothing.
I make more than I made at the store, don't I? Get more time to see you, haven't I?
Yes, Norman.
Well, then I don't see what's...
Norman, I knew you wouldn't stay at the store. I knew you'd quit at the truck company and the other jobs, too. I knew you'd be working for Marty Brenner someday. I was sure of it.
Marty's my friend.
Yes, I know, I know. I've got to get back to the office, Norman. It's late.
I'll see you tonight.
I guess so. Maybe you better call me.
All right. Look, Edna.
You better call at 7 and I'll answer. I haven't told my family anything yet.
Edna, please.
I'm late, Norman. I got to go or I'll catch you.
Hello, Gus.
Man, I'm right away. See you in the office.
Okay.
Hello, Norman. How's it going?
Okay, Marty. I guess.
You guess? Hey, what's the matter? The old man riding you again? Normie, why do you let him push you around, huh?
I don't know. Because he's my old man, I guess.
Nobody pushes me around, Norman. No matter who they are.
No, I guess they don't.
And I don't like it when they do it to you.
Yeah, I know you don't.
You don't have to take that kind of stuff, Norman. Look, the more you take, the more they're going to give you. Didn't I always tell you that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, what else did I always tell you, huh? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a racket, Norman. Don't you forget that. Some of them work inside the law, some of them got to work outside. But you show me an honest guy, and I'll peel him down and show you a crook.
I bet you could have that money.
Sure I could. But half the people in this world are doing just what you and I are doing, only they're afraid to admit it.
Well, you're right, Marty.
Sure I am.
Sit here, Marty. You want to see him?
Yeah, just a minute, Gus.
Okay.
See what I mean, Norman?
Yeah, I see it, Marty.
Okay. I want you to go out with Sid tonight.
With Sid?
Yeah. He's going to break in on his end of the deal. Okay with you?
Yeah, it sure is.
I thought it would be. Hey, you're coming along all right, Norman. I'm going to make something out of you yet.
Back to the neighborhood boy in just a moment. You know, friends, one reason you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is that it helps to keep your mouth feeling so fresh and clean. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint is really cooling and refreshing. Besides, the chewing itself gives you comfort because it helps to keep your mouth and throat pleasingly moist. Helps keep your teeth clean and bright, too. Try it and see for yourself. Chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum while you work, while driving your car, out walking, and in your home. See how this delicious chewing gum helps to keep your mouth feeling fresh, cool, and clean. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get some next time you go to the store. And now, Act Two of tonight's story, The Neighborhood Boy. The suppositions made in crime detection is that the criminal, like the ordinary citizen, is apt to be a creature of habit. All three new registrations on the stolen cars had been made at one license bureau in a large eastern city. With the consent of the Motor Vehicle Department, the 12 clerks who issued licenses at the bureau met with Agent Reynolds and me in an office of the bureau and were given a confidential briefing on our plan of action.
Now we come to the part of this racket that concerns you people here at the bureau. First, is there anything you want to ask me so far?
Yes, sir. Did they use the same plate number to apply for the new registration as on the stolen car?
Yes, they did.
So as far as we're concerned, it's just as if the guy whose car was stolen had sold it and the new owner applied for transfer.
Well, that's the way it would appear on your records.
Okay, I get it.
All right. Now, when we recovered these three cars, we checked back on the motor numbers, and your bureau came up with these three registration stubs. The license applications that the stubs were torn from could have come from this office or any other. The only thing that had to be done to the stub was to stamp it with a date and number. We sent these stubs down to our laboratory and had photo enlargements made. Agent Stevens is going to flash these enlargements on the screen now. Okay, Steve. Now, the purpose of this enlargement is to show you how to recognize the difference between your official stamp used here at the Bureau and the ones used by this gang. Now, look closely at the state seal, and you'll see that the eagle is clear. The fake one is blurred all around the eagle's head and the wings are all buried.
Good
Don't you like the suit, Edna?
The suit's all right, Norman.
What do you keep looking for, like it wasn't me or something?
I don't know.
You want to go someplace else, Edna, with a floor show, maybe? Marty says club
I don't want to go anyplace, Norman. I'd just as soon go home.
Edna, what's the matter with you these last couple of months? What is it? I don't get it. Don't I take you out enough? Is that it? Can't help it if I gotta work nights sometimes.
Norman, it's nothing you do or you don't do. It's just... I don't know what it is. Ever since you started working for Marty...
Marty's my friend, Edna.
Yes, I know.
Wouldn't be sitting here in a fancy place like this if it wasn't for Marty. I wouldn't have money in my pocket. I wouldn't own a car.
I'd like to go home, Norman. Now.
Why?
Because I don't want any more dinners out of Marty Brenner's money. I don't want anything from Marty ever.
Don't talk like that, Edna, please.
I can't help it. Everybody in the neighborhood knows what Marty is.
They think they do, but they don't.
All right, Norman, let's not argue.
Nobody knows him.
But you.
Maybe. Maybe that's right.
If you pay for the drinks, we can go.
Maybe I'm the only one who does know him. Maybe it's Marty and me against all the rest of them.
Norman.
Okay, we'll go. Check, please, waiter.
For a month, all the license applications coming into the Motor Vehicle Bureau were scrutinized carefully. But somewhere along the way, a few of the clerks lost their enthusiasm for the tedious job. It was the supervisor of the department rechecking the applications who discovered that a new license had already been issued on a renewal stub bearing the faked stamp. A three-state alarm was sent out for the car with this license number.
Norman?
Pa, what are you doing up?
I'm waiting for you.
Now, look, Pa, let's get this straight once and for all. I'm 26 years old.
Where have you been,
Norman? I was playing cards at Charlie Roberts' place, if you've got to know.
You didn't hear the radio at 9 o'clock?
Why should I hear the radio? I was playing cards.
Your friend Gus Welter was arrested by the police. He was driving a stolen car into Marty Brenner's garage.
What?
Police found a desk full of license applications in the garage, a stamping machine.
Where's Marty? Did they arrest Marty?
Man said Marty Brenner got away. After an exchange of shots with the police, he said. Norman, I've been sitting here since 9 o'clock thinking this over. I've been thinking what's the right thing I ought to do. Norman...
Yeah.
You knew what they were doing. You knew they were stealing cars, didn't you? Answer me, Norman.
Yeah, I knew.
You were in on it, weren't you? Yeah, you were. I know it now. That's where all the money came from. I knew you weren't greasing cars.
Ah, this is no time for a lecture.
Not going to give you one. It's too late for that. Wouldn't do any good. All these years, I've been trying to bring you up decent, give you principles to go by. Norman.
I'm going to pack my things.
You're going to listen to what I got to say. You're going to hear what I've been thinking.
I don't care what you've been
thinking. You're going to hear it, Norman.
I can't hear
it. You're going to listen for once in your life, so help me.
You better take your hands off me, Pa.
You know what I've been thinking, Norman? I've been thinking my son is a no-good thief, a bum, a hoodlum like Marty Brenner.
Let go of me.
I've been thinking I ought to turn him over to the police like any other thief. He's not my son. He's just a common gutter snipe. He ought to get what Marty Brenner gets.
I told you to take your hands off.
You're going to jail, Norman. That's where you belong. In jail.
We'll see about that.
You and Marty Brenner, that's where both of you belong.
I'll never get Marty or me either. Never.
Operator, will you please get me the police?
Back to the neighborhood boy in just a moment. Friends, here's a modern, sensible way to satisfy that little hungry feeling you sometimes get between meals, especially when you want to go light. Chew a stick of refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. You see, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is never rich or filling, yet it does satisfy your taste and give you that little pickup you want. Helps to tide you over until mealtime. It's one reason why Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is the favorite between meal treat of millions. Always keep a package of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum right with you. And when you get that little hungry feeling, but want to go light, chew a stick of this good tasting gum. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
3 of The Neighborhood Boy. With the arrest of Gus Welter and two other men, Marty Brenner's gang was broken up. But Brenner himself escaped. That same night, Norman Rice, a new member of the gang, left home. For more than a month, law enforcement agencies all over the country looked for these men with no result. Then we received a call from Norman Rice's father, which began the final chapter of the case.
Then she said, "What kind of a father are you? Sending your own son to jail?" And I said, "Martha, he's not our son anymore."
It was your wife who received the telephone calls, Mr. Rice?
Yeah. Boy needed money. He called here 2 times before I found out.
Did she send him any money?
Yeah. First time, $50. Next time, $100.
To a general post office address?
Yes, sir. And he is using another name.
May we have the address of the post office and the name, please?
Yeah, that's why I called you. My wife, I don't know. She hates me because I have to do what's right. She cries all day long, and I keep telling her over and over, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, and nobody, not even her own boy, is any exception.
What was the post office address, Mr. Rice?
Yeah, I wrote it down, and the name he's using.
Nelson Riker, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. May we use your phone, please, Mr. Rice?
Well, we haven't got one. There's a pay station out in the hall.
I'll do it, Dave.
Okay, Steve.
My wife says I'll be punished for doing a thing like this. She just doesn't understand.
I guess it's been pretty tough on both of you.
I've already had my punishment right here, I told her. Boy like that, a common thief. And everything I did for him all those years. I've had my punishment. More than enough.
Within an hour of our talk with Mr. Rice, agents of our Harrisburg office began a surveillance of the post office. The next morning, Agent Reynolds and I joined them. 2 days later, an elderly man called for mail addressed to Nelson Riker. We detained this man and found out that he was the owner of a motel a few miles out of town. He quickly identified Norman Rice from pictures and told us that Rice was with another man who answered the description of Marty Brenner.
Okay, Marty, cut him.
Aren't you tired of gin rummy, Norman?
Well, now when you owe me $375,000, I'm not.
Okay, deal.
Anyway, what else have we got to do until the old man comes back with the mail?
Think your mother will send another $100, Norman?
Yeah, sure she will. Ma's okay.
This is some setup, huh? Me sponging on you.
Anything's mine, it's yours. You know that, Marty.
You're a real screwball, aren't you, Norman? If you had a brain in your head, you would have gone your own way long ago.
If you want to split up, it's all right with me, Marty.
Who says I want to split up? I'll knock with one.
I wouldn't want to bring you trouble, you know that.
What do I get on the score?
You think we ought to split up, Marty?
No. We'll stay together, Norman.
Okay.
As soon as things cool down a little, we'll start traveling. You'll see, Normie. I got connections in Miami. We'll make out fine there. Yeah?
Sure we will.
Now, what do I score?
18.
Matter of fact, we might go in for cars down there, nothing but Cadillacs.
Oh, that suits me.
Cadillac convertibles.
Make it specialty, huh?
Yeah, Rice and Brenner. You name it, we'll get it.
Brenner and Rice. That's better.
Okay, screwball. We won't fight over the billing. Give me the cards, huh?
Okay. Hey, here comes the old man's car.
That's about time.
Want to go out and see if he's got anything?
No, he'll bring it in.
He's going around back to the office.
Would you relax, Mommy? You'll have a letter.
You think so?
Well, sure. And if you don't?
We'll figure an angle, huh?
Sure we will. Now, supposing you let me get back some of that $375,000, huh?
Hey, what's that?
How do I know?
Well, should I get...
No, I'll take it. Yeah. Yes, Mr. Baker. It's the old man.
What is he?
Shut up. Go ahead. Yeah, I hear you. Oh, yeah? Well, come on, I have to try it.
What is it, Marty?
FBI agents in his office. We got 1 minute to come out with our hands up.
What?
Yeah, get that box of slugs out of the suitcase.
Marty, you're not gonna...
I'm gonna try. Well, come on, hurry up.
Marty, it won't work.
Shut up and do what I tell you. And we'll make a break for it through the kitchen.
Marty, listen, you go through the kitchen. I'll go out the window and get their attention.
No, don't be an idiot.
Please, Marty, both of us can't make it through the kitchen.
We can try.
No. Going out this way. A couple of seconds and then you go.
No, come back here.
So long, Marty. I'll see you in Miami.
Norman, come back here.
Stop! Stop, or we'll shoot! All right, Brenner. Come out with your hands up. You haven't got a chance.
After a half hour of parley, Marty Brenner surrendered. He seemed genuinely moved by the death of his friend, Norman Rice. Brenner and the other members of the gang were brought to trial, convicted, and sentenced to long terms in prison. Our books are closed on The Neighborhood Boy.
Remember, friends, to help keep your mouth feeling fresh and clean, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, refreshing flavor in it. And you can chew a stick just about any time and any place. Then, too, while you're sinking your teeth into this good-tasting gum, the natural chewing action is helping to keep your teeth clean and bright. Next time you're at the store, get some packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get plenty for your whole family, because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a perfect all-family treat. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Jack Grimes played the part of Norman Rice. Larry Haynes was Marty Brenner. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Business Trip, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Safe driving starts in your garage. It starts with a car safe enough to meet any road and any driving condition. Safe driving is the special concern of your Shell dealer, too. When you bring in your car for Shell lubrication, you get special attention. Your Shell dealer gives your car a thorough look-and-touch safety inspection of vital working parts.